Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
Abby witnessed it. I was visually shooketh. I was shooketh.
You gasped.
When I went, what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You could, it could be heard across the office. The gasp that you gasped.
The gasp that I what?
That you gasped. The gasp that you gasped.
So, first of all, I want to thank sweet Kelly Bannon, clearly a P1, who hit me up on Instagram a couple of days ago. And for those of you that have hit me up the last couple of days, I have just not been on Instagram. So I'm kind of catching up right now. And she wrote, just heard the segment on your sleep study results, being normal and how you need to calm your mind. Was going to message you and say 1,000% it's tied to ADHD. And then she goes on and on and on. And she says, we'll literally be reading a suspense novel. And then all of a sudden, I'm Googling something like, how tall was Jesus? Which leads to other thoughts and more Googles. All right, I want to stop there. So as somebody with ADHD, when I read, she will Google, how tall was Jesus?
Uh-huh.
I stopped and Googled, how tall was Jesus?
Of course you did.
Does anybody in here have any idea how tall Jesus was?
God at least made Jesus 6'3".
Did they put his height
in
the Bible?
That's Google.
There's the no thing. Way.
Does anybody know?
Who measured him?
What most scholars believe the height of Jesus was.
Like, did he leave an imprint in the tomb? Like, how are they knowing how tall
how
Jesus
measure
is?
Him, right.
I don't know. I'm old, but I'm not that old.
Somebody,
I don't know. I wonder around.
Wrote the marks on the wall.
Back then, they measured by, like, the height of a horse or something.
He's 2.5 horses high?
No, like your hands.
I can't answer how. Okay. I can just tell you what most scholars believe Jesus' height was.
You about to tell me he's the short king of kings?
I know he ain't tall enough, Abby. That's what I do know.
5'1" to 5'5".
No, he's not. No. Jesus had to be at least 5'9".
No, man. Most scholars believe Jesus was between 5'1" and 5'5". He wouldn't get swiped on Tinder.
He was single. I mean, he didn't get married, and now we know why.
That's all making sense.
Oh, no, he was just too holy. No, the girls were not about it. Mary Magdalene was taller than him and hit her sandals.
If you're new around here, I'm 5'4 and get plenty of heat for my height, and that's why I'm celebrating for short kings today between 5'1 and 5'5 and did feel it was a win until you're right, we realized that he was single.
That is now we know why.
That is not reflected in the visuals. Like, I mean, when you see any portrait of Jesus, I feel like they are not.
I mean, most of them all showed up, though.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of interpretations on what Jesus might have looked like, right?
If you're going in a little bit deeper, because we keep asking, like, how do they know he's between 5'1 and 5'5? So most scholars believe he was of average height for his time, likely between 5'1, 5'5. This is based on historical data about the average height of men in Judea and the fact that his height wouldn't have been described if he was notably tall or short.
See, so 5'1 to 5'5 in his time hits different because the tallest man walking might have been 5'8.
Yeah, he was probably like on the Nazareth basketball team.
So it begs the question, how big was Goliath? 5'11? He's the only man in history to ever be 5'11.
Right. I really wanted to celebrate this until you did mention he was single.
He did pretty well for himself.
I'd
say.
Did he? Yeah, yeah.
I think he
he's God's son.
Yes, you're born into that. All right, so Mo, why are you thinking about purposely breaking your finger?
Man, I have I've had these issues with two of my fingers since I was, for as long as I can remember, like high school. I have broken two fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4 different times. And the one on my left hand, it's my ring finger on both hands. And the one on my left, I think I broke it the first time playing football. Someone stepped on it by accident.
Ooh.
The one on my right, I broke it. The first time I broke it, it got caught into someone's uniform playing basketball. Now, here's where I was an idiot. So when I broke my first finger, someone gave me the advice to re-break it before it healed so that it would heal back in a way where it looked straight, not crooked. And I didn't take that advice for the first broken finger. And so that finger turned out to be much worse than the one on my right hand, because when I broke the second one, I did it. I actually took the person's advice. And so right after I broke it, I went home and I asked my girlfriend at the time, I can't believe I did this, to take like a book, a hard-covered book, and to place it over my finger.
You're such a man.
I know.
What a man thing to do.
And I put my finger on the floor. I put the hard-cover book over my finger, and I told her to just step on it as hard as you possibly can.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And boy, did she do it. Like, it was as if she thought I'd never ask.
Every argument came out in that stomp, man.
Yeah.
You know there's doctors that can do that for you.
Well, I was,
you got money for that.
Yeah, I'm 19. Yeah. The playoffs was in 3 games. Yeah. I'm like, I gotta do what I gotta do.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, ironically, when she did it, it was one of the most painful things I'd ever experienced. But when it healed back looking rather straight, like as if nothing had ever happened to it. Now, the finger I did not do that to, I ended up re-breaking it again one time at the time that I was boxing. So that finger is on my left hand, and when I went to the doctor and I told him about it, he told me at that time it just wouldn't make any sense. Like, the finger is already healed. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't really obstruct me from doing anything, but it's just ugly.
It's an aesthetic thing for you?
Yes, like just looking at the way it goes to the right instead of going straight.
Oof.
And every time I try to put a ring on it, I can't, because right at the knuckle, it gets like soup. It gets bigger and then it gets smaller. So I can't really find a way to put a ring on it, which the doctor told me, oh, you're never getting married. And I think, like, I don't think he realized he spoke that in the universe with me at that time.
I was about to say, now we know why. It wasn't relationships. You're just insecure about your hands.
That's what it is. It's the finger. And so I was just looking at it the other day and it just annoys me. It annoys me every once in a while enough to where I'm like, why don't I just re-break it? I wouldn't feel it. They'd numb it up. I'd re-break it and I'd just have to wear a splint. For, I think it said like a few months or something like that. And that's the part I obviously don't want to do. I mean, it's like, why would I put myself in a position to have to go 3 months with a splint on? But it would straighten my finger and I'd have a straight finger again. And I'm considering it. All these years, I thought I'm never doing it. But I'm at the point now where I'm like really considering it because it annoys me.
Man, if you were going to do this, it would have been back in the day because you told us you were like a hand model.
Yeah.
Right? So if this was about money, I'd say go for it. But it's just aesthetics.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And that's why it sounds so foolish. But Man, I hate it. Like, I can't. It irritates me to the point where I'm always looking down at it. Yeah. And every time I see it, I just want to re-break it.
Take it from the person who broke her nose just for to be cute. Do it. It's worth it. Go for it.
I mean, how is it really any different? Because we're always telling people if you're self-conscious about it and it's really getting in your head, then change it if you can, like Abby did about her nose, right? If this is just it's a finger, but the same rules apply.
I'm wondering if I should go to a doctor, though, or see if my ex is available, because that route is a lot cheaper. You know what?
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Singer Miley Cyrus just did a very revealing interview with Monica Lewinsky. Try explaining that to someone 15 years ago, that one day Hannah Montana would be sitting across the table from Monica Lewinsky on a new podcast, but somehow it makes sense in 2025. Right.
So Monica Lewinsky was one of the presenters at the Gracie Awards this past year, and she was presenting to some of the podcast winners. And yeah, she has a thriving podcast.
It's called Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky, and she might be the only person with a better facelift than Kris Jenner because she looks incredible. And this is a really cool podcast. It's all about, again, reclaiming your identity, which of course Monica Lewinsky knows all about. And it's a really fascinating interview with Miley Cyrus, who we have seen through many different cycles in her life. We saw her as Hannah Montana on the Disney Channel, the Disney Golden Girl. And then she swung the pendulum to Bangers, where she was like twerking on stage with Robin Thicke. And now she's kind of met in the middle, where she's sort of like this edgy rocker pop girl, but isn't quite as unhinged as maybe she was back in 2013. She actually revealed in this interview that her Bangers era, which is of course is that scandalous era that everyone thinks of when they think of Miley Cyrus being a rebellious kid, she said that it actually caused a lot of turmoil in her relationship with Liam Hemsworth, her now ex-husband, and it's why she ended up swinging the pendulum the other way and releasing another album to try and win him back by cleaning up her image.
Because was Bangers the one where she was swinging naked on a wrecking ball?
Yes.
Okay.
So basically, when you think of that Miley Cyrus rebellious period, that's that era. She said it really messed up her personal relationship. She also said that she lost out on some career opportunities because of some of the things she was doing in her personal life. Like, she gave Liam, her ex-husband, a phallic-shaped cake. And so she ended up getting kicked out of this movie called Hotel Transylvania. And they gave the part to her rival, essentially, at the time, Selena Gomez. So there's a lot of drama that was revealed in this episode. But something that she did open up about that I think everyone can take something from is how she's opening up about her family life and how for the last 10 years, she's considered this like the dark decade of her family life, and how all it took was them having a little fun together to be able to start mending some of their broken bridges. That was a really important part of my year. This year was all of my family putting those lines of communications back together a lot because of, you know, I had a lot of loyalty to my mom, the way that families do when parents get divorced, you know. But, you know, I definitely in that situation, I watched what happens when you don't clean things up as they're happening. They really do stack. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, my God, it's been 10 years. And this is a mess that I barely even know how to start. This is like emotional hoarding.
Yeah.
But I just kind of bust through the pile that's stacked and just go, I'm here, you're here, let's start by having a good time together.
Uh-huh.
And then as we start bringing some like happiness and joy into each other's life, then we'll just be in a better place to have these conversations. Because I'd rather balanced first.
Did you have to go to like family counseling to do that? Or was it?
We're so messy. We didn't even do any of that. We just all started going, you know, to get each other in a room to even get to counseling would have been a war.
Right.
So it was easier to just go white flag. I mean, I even wrote a song about it.
First of all, I love her so much.
I do too.
It's very hard for me not to hear her voice and think she's a chain-smoking senior citizen. However, I have always bought into Miley Cyrus. I don't think anything really has been fabricated in her life. She just seems, at the end of the day, and I've had her in here before also, 100% authentic. Mm-hmm. What you see is what you get. When she's going through these phases and the ups and downs, this is really who she is. None of it is an act.
And I love that. She'll even call out celebrities too. Like, I think she had a recent performance at the Grammys where she was singing Flowers. And she's like, why are you guys not acting like you don't know this song? So it's almost like you could see that in her family life too, where once you get to that place where you can start having a good time together, like she said, like opening up those lines of communication with the family, I could see Miley Cyrus kind of being like the whistleblower in her family and being like, okay, let's actually sit down now that we've had a couple of tequila shots and let's talk about the last 10 years where we haven't really talked to each other.
Because it's crazy how fast a decade can go by.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, God, everything we've missed out on, like we need to rectify this and rectify it soon.
Exactly. All right. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
He was Hollywood's leading man with a secret bigger than his jawline. Rock Hudson spent his life in the closet until his death made him the most unlikely face of the LGBTQ+ community. This is the story of closeted actor Rock Hudson.
Hear ye, hear ye. Come forth, all Instagram baddies and crypto bros, for the most salacious gossip in the whole village.
Abby's done the work to bring you
the old gossip.
In the 1950s, Rock Hudson had one of the greatest glow-ups in American history. This man went from being named Roy Harold Scherer Jr., which sounds like someone who sells tires in Toledo, to Rock Hudson, a name that practically screams, did someone order an extra large sausage pizza? Rock was tall, dark, handsome, and heterosexual. Not really, but America really wanted to believe that last part. So it's the 1950s and 60s. Rock Hudson was the poster boy for masculinity. Women wanted him, men wanted to be him, and gay men wanted to marry him. But being gay in the 1950s was basically like walking into any Hollywood studio and asking to be fired.
I just refreshed my memory by pulling up a photo of him, and that is a dashing, dashing man.
He is the picture of what you think a leading Hollywood star in the 1950s would look like. Very Clark Kentish, but rugged enough that he could also be Superman.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. He's dapper.
Mm-hmm. And he aged well, too, as he got older. He's just like he just became a rugged, good-looking guy.
Should have been obvious. He had a good skincare routine. So he did what any closeted gay movie star did back in the day. He fake married his secretary because nothing screams, I'm straight! Like strategically marrying a woman after one conversation at the water cooler. In hindsight, him pretending to be straight was pretty wild. I mean, the man starred in movies like Pillow Talk with Doris Day.
Oh, that's such a good one.
His entire shtick in this film was pretending to be gay to get women. Like, think of how he must have felt in that moment. Rock was a gay man playing a straight man, pretending to be gay. And he was actually gay. That's not acting. That's gay inception. Now, Rock was very careful. He kept his private life locked up tighter than Liberace's backstage dressing room. But I mean, come on. Hollywood knew. Everyone in Hollywood had to know. It was like the worst kept secret in town. Like Kris Jenner's new facelift. Or the fact that Tom Cruise is not actually 5'8". But then came the 80s. And suddenly everything changed.
In 1985, Rock Hudson became the first major celebrity to publicly announce that he had AIDS, and America went into full-on denial. Like, wait, Rock Hudson? The man who made out with Doris Day? That Rock Hudson? He can't have AIDS. That's a disease for, like, other people. It was a cultural earthquake. This wasn't just a man with AIDS. This was the man with the cleft chin, the twinkle in his eye, and the jawline carved by the gods. Suddenly, AIDS had a face, and it was a good-looking one. But it was devastating because that face was so familiar, so beloved, and now undeniably gay. It was the first time many Americans had to confront the reality that the AIDS crisis, and that it wasn't just happening in some distant corner of society, it was in their living room, on People magazine, on Dynasty, which is exactly what happened. Rock collapsed on the set of Dynasty.
No.
Mm-hmm. AIDS interrupted primetime drama. America gasped harder than Alexis Carrington in a slap fight. And here's the tragic brilliance of it. Rock didn't come out in life, but his death outed him to the world. And that act, whether intentional or not, changed everything. Overnight, public opinion shifted. People started paying attention. AIDS funding increased. Reagan, who had avoided saying the word AIDS like it was a curse, suddenly couldn't avoid it anymore because Nancy's friend Rock had it. When gay men screamed, no one listened. But when a leading man whispered, the world turned up the volume. So yes, Rock Hudson spent his life hiding in plain sight, but in death, he helped drag America's ignorance out of the closet. He showed the world that being gay doesn't mean you're less than, and having AIDS doesn't make you disposable. He gave a devastating disease a human face, and behind that face, there was courage. There was love, and yes, flawless bone structure. Thank you, Rock, for the drama, the secrets, and ultimately the truth, and for proving that behind every Hollywood legend are a lot of secrets, a little bit of pain, and one hell of a performance.
Good stuff.
Nice job.
Always good stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Bird Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online, having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online. It's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All right, Mo, so you're in a tight spot right here, man. How honest do you really want to be?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what you do when you have a friend that's relying on you to be honest about a pursuit that they have of a lifelong dream. And that's the position I find myself in because one of my good friends, I call him a good friend for sure. I've known him for a very long time.
B-tier, A-tier, this is important.
I'd go B-tier.
B-tier,
I'd
okay.
go B-tier. And out of nowhere, this dude comes to me one day about maybe 3 or 4 months ago and says, I'm thinking about dropping everything that I'm doing, which it's quite the leap because right now he's an accountant and he's been an accountant for many a years and he's a good accountant. He seems to have made a great living doing it. But now he wants to do comedy out of nowhere.
That's a big shift.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
I've known him 20 years, I've never known him to be particularly funny.
Okay. that's what I was going to ask. Okay.
So he's not the funny friend where it's like, you should do stand-up comedy.
No.
But let me submit this, because I used to be on a show that brought in a lot of comedians to be on the air. I do find, like, I don't know what the percentage is, a lot of them just aren't funny in real life. Mm-hmm. But when that light comes on and they can perform what they have written, it's great panel. They do really great job, but they're just not really socially funny.
It's very true. They typically consider most comedians either A-type or B-type. And the A-type are like the comedians who are always comedians. They get off stage, they're comedians. You're home with them, they're comedians. And then the B-type are more like the comedians who, when you meet them, you can't, it's not even the same person. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't even believe that's you on the stage. So he could be a B-type comedian. That's possible. So when he first gave me the news, I didn't immediately shoot his dreams down or anything like that, because people did that to me. I've been quiet the majority of my life. So when I first said I wanted to be a comedian, I got the same reaction that I would have gave him. So I thought it was shocking and out of nowhere, and I asked him where it came from. And then that's when he told me, well, people have told me my whole life that I should pursue comedy. I don't believe that, but I wasn't with him his whole life. Maybe, it's possible. So he came to me and
asked
me.
Maybe he doesn't know a lot of people. Maybe he just knows two people.
That's also possible.
You told him his mom doesn't count.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't try to discourage him yet. Not at that point, right? So I asked him, like, okay, well, what do you think, that you have that would make you a good comedian? I think that's the first question you should ask yourself. And he said, well, normally when I'm having conversations with people, I always end up making everyone laugh. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of everybody, but the transition from laughing and joking with your friends to going on a stage and trying to make people laugh who don't know you, and you're not paying them to laugh, you're not their friend for them to, they're paying for you to make them laugh. It's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, but I think I could do it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, bro, I'm not going to ever tell you that you can't. But I think what you need to do is get on stage. Like, there's a lot of open mics where you can go and you can sign up. That's what I first did. And get up there and do your thing in front of people who are also in the same position as you, who are thinking of pursuing comedy. Like, that's how you can really get a feel of what you have or what you don't have. So he takes my advice and he asked me for pointers, like, to help him. And I told him, I think you should go up there and just do your own thing first. And then when you go up there, whatever your experience is, come back to me. And then I'll give you some pointers. So he does it. Now, I didn't see this performance. He just comes back and tells me about it. I asked him if he recorded it. He said yes, but he said he doesn't want me to see it, which I understand, because that first one is usually very rough.
I tell people the same thing about podcasting, man. Go ahead, try your first podcast, record it. Don't let anybody ever hear it.
Yes, exactly that. So obviously he told me, I was nervous, and he gave me some examples of the jokes he used. And, well, I gave him the pointers that I could help him. I told him how important confidence was, stage presence. If you don't believe in the joke, no one else is going to believe in the joke. Delivery is everything. Timing is a factor. You got to learn comedic timing. I'm just giving him these typical pointers that a comedian would give. So then he came to me and he said, I want you to come to the next open mic that I do, because he has the opportunity to try to do a comedy showcase where he could win money, and there are going to be a lot of people in the audience who are rating the comedians. So I said, all right, how bad could that be? I'll come out and, I'll watch you do your open mic, and then I'll give you pointers off of what I'm actually seeing. I went and checked him out. It's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't be worse.
Oh. No.
It was.
Was it just an off night?
See, that's the thing. No.
Okay.
Because I'm giving him grace. Don't get me wrong, right? I'm not expecting him to go up there and be Dave Chappelle right now, right? But even when you compared him to the other comedians who were having an open mic, it was night and day.
It's like if you have it or you don't.
You kind of do. You kind of do. And, comedy is something you could possibly grow into. But for me, the great comedians I know, they kind of just had that it factor to begin with. And then you go and you learn the craft and you become a student of it. And that's when you become as great as you could possibly be at it. But he don't have it, at least from what I saw. So what puts me in this awkward position is I don't necessarily want to tell him don't do it, but I think I do need to step in and tell him he's not ready for the showcase. And I don't know I don't know if that's going to hurt his feelings. I just don't know if I should just let him go up there and fail Or should I really step in and be a friend and say, bro, you might want to practice a little more?
Well, after the show, how did he feel about it? Like, did he feel like he'd done a stand-up job?
That's the other thing. This is a good question, Abby, because I thought his approach to me was going to be, I know that wasn't my best. And then I kind of would have gave me an, nah, he thought he crushed. And he said, I'm assuming the only reason that people in the room don't really laugh is because they're all comedians and it's kind of a competition thing. And I was like, that's kind of true. But funny is funny.
Yeah.
You know.
I think as I'm trying to put myself in your position, I think that I would let him do his thing for the next month and see if he gets any better for the next month and then come back and see if he improves at all. And if not, then you got to have a hard conversation with him.
Okay.
I think when you're doing something that you're not cut out for, or if it's not your purpose, I think naturally the universe or God, whoever, weeds you out of that. Like, if he enjoyed doing it and he had a great time and he felt like it went well and he thought it was just the audience who had a problem or didn't have a good sense of humor, then I think he's just got to learn this lesson himself. Let him do it. Let him have a good time doing it. Maybe at some point he does pick it up. I don't know. Maybe he will blossom into a beautiful comedian. But I think at some point, like, if you're just not cut out for it and it's not your purpose, I think nature will take its course.
You, with comedians' experience, would give somebody how long before you think that they would realize that, okay, it ain't gonna happen?
Well, me personally, it took about 3 shows. I thought my first show was really good. My second one was absolutely horrible. That was when I realized, like, okay, I have it, but I need to go be a student of it. So I think if you do about 5 shows,
okay,
and you haven't seen any progression or production, like, you really are still blaming the audience. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
By your 5th show, you might not have what you think you have.
So can you give him some tips and then have him try to apply them for the next month? Then you come back in a month after he's applying your tips, and then it's time for the combo.
So I do think I did that. I told him his delivery was what needed the most work, right? It's like you're almost telling the joke before the joke comes out. And then by the time the people hear it, the punchline is not a surprise, and it's not great either. It got to be one or the other. It has to be really good or shocking for the audience to react to it. So I did tell him to work on that. Like, work on your punchline and work on making the jokes make sense. It should be like you're up there telling almost like a story,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to you just jumping all over the place and people have no idea where you're going and where it's coming from. So I did give him some pointers, but he's not ready for that showcase.
So outside, friend, your appearance, delivery, and content, it's good.
There you go. Right? Like, if the audience is just looking to hear somebody talk, and they're not really there for jokes, per se, it'll be a mess.
The Bird Show.